Sacha Patch.
I'm going to find out who you are and what you are doing. And if I don't like it, I will come back and I will stop you. I will stop all of you.
Who the hell do you think you are?
The Doctor.
I am the Doctor. Who you are, I cannot begin to imagine.
Then let us show you, Doctor. See who you will become.
That's not a good idea.
They all die. The Doctor has walked in blood through all of time and space. The Doctor has many names. The Imp of the Pandorica. The Shadow of the Balyard. The Beast of Trenzalore. The Butcher of Skull Moon. The Last Tree of Garsonoth. The Destroyer of Skaro. He is the Doctor of War.
What was that?
I didn't realize it would be that difficult to control.
So, Adric, it seems that on Christmas night, 2017, the 12th Doctor has left us, accepting his fate and regenerating into what comes after 12. Adric. Yes, the 13th Doctor. And apart from sadness, which is what I felt immediately following Twice Upon a Time, which is what I felt leading up to Twice Upon a Time in the weeks and the months that I knew that it would be Peter Capaldi's final story as the 12th Doctor, all I've felt about this regeneration has been sadness. And along with Peter Capaldi, along with the 12th Doctor, Twice Upon a Time is the swan song for Stephen Moffat, who has been executive producer, script editor, showrunner, head writer for the series since 2010. While I would have preferred a romp with more comedy, with Peter Capaldi going through all his greatest hits, and while Twice Upon a Time is not nearly Stephen Moffat's best work, it's not even nearly his best Christmas story. I do think that Twice Upon a Time will be viewed by history as not just a deserving and fulfilling goodbye to the 12th Doctor, but a deserving and fulfilling goodbye to any incarnation of the Doctor. And Adric, by the way, Twice Upon a Time is also the farewell to Murray Gold, who has been responsible for the music of Doctor Who since its return. For the entirety of the modern era of Doctor Who, Murray Gold has composed and conducted the music. And Adric, do not forget, never forget, that Twice Upon a Time is also Doctor Who's farewell to Mark Gatiss. Don't forget that. You didn't like it. You did like it. You're not sure if you liked it. That's great. That's great, Adric. That's really, really, really. That's great, Adric. The Christmas Truce was the name given to a series of unofficial ceasefires, which occurred on the Western Front of World War I in 1914. And it was, as what we saw on The Christmas Story in Twice Upon a Time, soldiers singing carols together, playing soccer, exchanging souvenirs, knickknacks as gifts. There were also joint burial ceremonies, prisoner swaps. Fighting did continue in some areas, but from today's perspective, that of 2017, to think that French, German, and British soldiers fighting in trenches during World War I would, without order from high above, decide to cease fire and celebrate Christmas together, that's amazing. And no, Adric, no, it doesn't restore my hope in humanity. If it restores your hope in humanity, I'm not even going to comment. The Christmas Truce of 1914 is the most famous example of a movement within the soldiers of the First World War. And I'm not talking about American soldiers, because American soldiers would not participate in spontaneous, non-aggressive, cooperative behavior with the enemy. Not American soldiers, damn it. But there was a rise of non-aggressive cooperative behavior among the soldiers during the First World War, especially in trench warfare on the Western Front, prolonged periods of battle. Deliberate avoiding of the use of violence. Truces or pacts negotiated by soldiers, or tacit behavior like refraining from shooting your weapon at the enemy, or discharging your weapon in a routine way which sends a signal to the other side of non-lethal intent. And this non-aggressive movement among the soldiers was called Live and Let Live. And the historical significance of the Christmas truce plays into Twice Upon a Time because it is a Christmas Doctor Who story. It is also an incredibly inspiring thing to witness, especially for the Doctor, who is not human, but as we've talked about before, has a certain affection for humanity that humans don't even possess. And witnessing this Christmas truce inspires the First Doctor and the 12th Doctor to cease fire themselves, to stop fighting their fate, to accept their place in the universe, in the bigger picture, to embrace the good that they do for the universe, for humanity, to accept the end of their life and the coming regeneration into their next life. Twice Upon a Time was not a romp at all. In fact, there was no monster. There was no real enemy. The antagonist is a pretty interesting group called the Testimony. And what we learn is that the Testimony was a creation of humans on New Earth. Not New Earth or New Earth, but New Earth. It was designed to extract people from their timelines at the moment of their death. Very similar to what the Doctor did on Gallifrey, pulling Clara, extracting her from the end of her timeline at the moment of her death. The Testimony archived the memories of these people into glass avatars. To what end? I don't know. I haven't thought about that aspect of this story all that much. I feel like it may be too deep for a regeneration story. A lot can be read into it. And there's certainly callbacks to the 12th Doctor series and the function of the Testimony. But it's overshadowed by Peter Capaldi's regeneration. If this wasn't a regeneration story, it would be very meandering. But it is. And it's not a farewell story the way The Time of the Doctor was a farewell story to Matt Smith's 11th Doctor. So a little background, Adric, and maybe you knew this, but you probably didn't. Because honestly, Adric, I don't think that you can read. But some FYI, Peter Capaldi was going to regenerate into the 13th Doctor in The Doctor Falls, in the final episode of Series 10. Stephen Moffat was under the impression that Chris Chibnall would be taking over with the 2017 Christmas story. Chris Chibnall did not want to do that. He wanted to take over with the premiere of Series 11. If there was no Doctor Who story for Christmas, Doctor Who would lose that sweet time slot on Christmas Day. And it seems to me that British people, all they do on Christmas is watch television. But there's been a Doctor Who Christmas story every year since the series came back. Stephen Moffat stepped up to the plate and decided to produce one last story. And that's why you have the Doctor beginning to regenerate in The Doctor Falls and holding off. And that's why he meets the First Doctor at the end of that story. And that's why this plot does feel like meandering and not so much as a plot as an exposition on the final moments of both the First Doctor's life and the 12th Doctor's life. So why the First Doctor in this story? He's never appeared in a Peter Capaldi serial before. The First Doctor appeared in The Three Doctors and The Five Doctors, but never with a modern-day Doctor. It wouldn't have even been considered because William Hartnell, who played the First Doctor, William Hartnell is dead for many years. The First Doctor is played by David Bradley in Twice Upon a Time, and David Bradley also plays Walder Frey. And he's been in a lot of other stuff, but most people know him as Walder Frey, I think. I don't know. It doesn't matter. You've seen him. He's been in Harry Potter. You've seen him. He's an old British actor. Whatever. He played William Hartnell in An Adventure of Space and Time, which was part of the 50th anniversary celebration. It was a docudrama about the beginning of Doctor Who. And I guess he was great. The First Doctor's regeneration is available footage, but the serial that it is a part of, The Tenth Planet, that's a missing story. The First Doctor's regeneration is not something that's easily seen. The First Doctor and the 12th Doctor are both going through the first regeneration of their respective cycles. So the first cycle of regeneration was 12 regenerations. The first doctor, his death brought the first regeneration into the second doctor. And it's easy because they number the doctors. You get it, right, Adric? The 12th doctor is really the 13th incarnation of the doctor. And the 11th doctor was blessed, gifted with a new series of regenerations, a new regeneration cycle of 12 regenerations. So for the second cycle, this is the first regeneration for the doctor. The first doctor and the 12th doctor are similar in age. The actors, and I'm not talking about David Bradley, I mean William Hartnell, and Peter Capaldi were the same age when they began playing Doctor Who, 55. And I think a key part of this team up is that the 12th doctor was very, very similar to what we know of the first doctor when his first series began. And seeing the 12th doctor and the first doctor at the end of their lifespans, you can see a significant difference between their personalities. You can really see how much the 12th doctor has changed and grown. So why is there no monster? Why is the testimony not a big bad monster that needs to be defeated? 12th doctor believes the testimony is evil at first, with evil intentions. He even suspects the appearance of Bill as being a copy, a clone, created by the testimony to get to him. And when he realizes that the testimony are just doing research, they're not killing anybody, they're not changing fate, it's just a learning experiment, he realizes that the testimony are not his enemies. And there is a ceasefire. To the point where he finds out that he's right in assuming that Bill is not the Bill that he knew, but a mass of memories extracted from Bill and put to use. The enemy is death in Twice Upon a Time. And yet, death is not even the enemy. Change, accepting change, finding a reason to carry on when life as you know it is destroyed. To learn about the testimony, the 12th doctor decides that he must take advantage of the Dalek hive mind, as they are likely to have information about the testimony. And he's correct in that assumption. But it's interesting the way he goes about getting access to the Dalek hive mind. And we get a callback to Series 8, Into the Dalek. And we see Rusty, good old Rusty, the Dalek that was changed by the doctor, formed a psychic link with the doctor. At the end of that story, Into the Dalek, Rusty was an enemy of the Daleks and destroying Daleks, and he is still destroying Daleks as the doctor comes upon him. And maybe it's a callback, but I think there's a little bit more to it. The one Dalek story in Series 8 is Into the Dalek, in which the doctor turns Rusty into an enemy of the Daleks. Series 9 opens with a two-parter, not centered around the Daleks, but the Daleks are the enemy. It's more centered around Davros, the creator of the Daleks. As that two-part story ends, Clara is saved because the doctor was able to teach a young Davros mercy. The 12th doctor could have chosen to kill Davros as a child, who he just by coincidence comes across. He could have chosen to kill him or to let him die in the situation he was in and save many lives because the Daleks would not have been created. Instead, he chooses to show Davros mercy and to teach him mercy. And in turn, Davros then programs and creates his Daleks with a sense of mercy. And all these years later, that's how he's able to save Clara. We don't really see the Daleks in Series 10, except for a brief appearance at the beginning, in the pilot, when the 12th Doctor brings Bill and Nardole to where he knows that the Daleks will be. And he does this to make use of their powers and abilities. He knows where Rusty will be. He comes across Davros by luck, but it seems like when Davros's plan is coming to fruition, the doctor is one step ahead of him. So the 12th doctor has shown a mastery over his arch nemesis during this run. To fit with the theme of ceasefire, it's a good choice by Moffat that the doctor goes to visit Rusty. The first doctor seemed to accept his regeneration. But being that it is a missing story, Stephen Moffat has taken some liberty with it and added a dimension of the first doctor not wanting to accept his regeneration. Obviously, the focus of the story is the 12th Doctor's regeneration, but shining some light on the first Doctor's regeneration helps Peter Capaldi's 12th Doctor to accept his own. And man, Adric, I've come to the conclusion that Stephen Moffat has a hard-on for Brigadier General Alistair Lethbridge Stewart. Mark Gatiss gets a co-starring role in Stephen Moffat's final story, playing, I guess, what must be the grandfather or the great-grandfather of Brigadier Lethbridge Stewart. And Moffat is mentioning this guy whenever he possibly can throughout his run as showrunner. But it was nice to have that connection. And it was a good role for Mark Gatiss. And I forget that this guy can act. I think the saddest thing I took away from Twice Upon a Time was that if you think about it, if you consider what the testimony is, with the exception of the Brigadier's grandfather or great-grandfather, the Doctor is alone this entire story. Sure, he comes across his first incarnation, but if you think about it, from a certain point of view, they're the same person. So it's himself that he runs into. And Bill was just a summation of memories extracted from Bill Potts. Nardole's avatar was the same thing. A summation of memories extracted from Nardole. Clara's brief return was the Doctor's own memories of Clara being returned to him. So the memories, no matter how you remember them, fondly, angrily, bittersweet, with a sense of sadness, joyous, whatever your memories make you feel, you have them. They're always with you. So in a sense, it's never goodbye. Matt Smith was a little bit more on the nose in his regeneration goodbye speech. I will always remember when the Doctor was me. This explores that theme further. Memories are not the enemy, although what you remember may make you think, may make you create enemies where there are none. But in the end, it's really just the way you remember things. Before the Doctor goes, he gives some advice to himself, the new Doctor. Kindness. Be kind. Be kind. And if there's anything that we know the 12th Doctor has learned throughout his lifetime, is that being kind is the most important part of being the Doctor. If you're going to be the protector of humanity, if you're going to take on that role, being kind is first and foremost. If you're going to be a healer and a teacher, it's kindness that you heal with and kindness that you want to teach. And I think that's accurate because the 12th Doctor in Series 10 and the 12th Doctor in Series 8, the difference is kind. Difference is kindness. Series 10 Doctor possesses that, while Series 8 doesn't know if he's capable of it. He's gone too soon. He just is. He's just gone too soon. Chris Chibnall wrote the first scene with the 13th Doctor. Chris Chibnall wrote the post-regeneration scene. And I guess the line of dialogue he wrote was, "Oh, brilliant." In seeing that she is a female. She presses a button. The TARDIS explodes because of the regeneration energy. And like Matt Smith, who fell out and hung on, she falls out, but she's not even able to try to hang on. She just falls out and she watches the TARDIS interior catch fire as she plummets. Not likely to her death, although it would be funny if she dies and regenerates. Well, I guess it really wouldn't be that funny. We're going to give her a chance. We're more worried about Chris Chibnall than we are about Jodie Whittaker. Anyway, it may be interesting, but I think metaphorically what Stephen Moffat has been telling us with this last run is to accept change. To remember where you were, to remember who you were, but to accept change and embrace the future. Adric, I don't care if you do any of that, because you're not a human being. And that's great. That's great, Adric. That's just great. Thanks for listening. You can find our RSS home page, adric.actionpackpodcasts.com, and lots more social media and interweb stuff coming your way at some point. And that's great, Adric. It's really, really great. Thank you.